Okay, so let's begin the last talk of the session by Betty Wilson and Veselin Djunic.
Very good.
Small number, adventures in languages.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Jack Tana Patch, Emot Quagan, Coop, Pin Oak, Helchip, Pine Helchip, Kayigis, Step, Oshil, Akthanan, Tawok, Home Ashgood, Chedmer Tan, Oshlaquen Nan. My English name is Betty Wilson. I'm a retired school teacher. And working with Veselin, or Dr. Djunic. We're one of the areas Veselin contacted me. I'm a retired school teacher. Soon as I retired, an email shows up. So would you like to work on math with me? Story problems. And I was fresh in retirement then, so I said, oh yeah, sure, why not? This is our territory according to what we've agreed on. We've signed a treaty, okay? So we've agreed that traditionally our territory, you see the line goes into Courtney Comox. There's four other communities. We were all sort of one people at one time. And it extends further north than where the lines are and further south. My great-grandmother was born in Homalco, which is way up here. She would row to the Fraser Valley to pick hops. She would row to Grace Harbor, that kind of thing. I'm going, 20 minutes isn't too long, so I'll keep moving. We have 1,100 community members in Tla'amin. There's also Tlo'os, Tlo'os, Homalco, and Comox. Okay, and 60% of our members are under the age of 40. Next. We're called, and our people object to this, we're called by the ethno-linguists or ethno-people at that time, Comox. We were called mainland Comox. We are now Ayajutham. And the Comox people said, well, what's wrong with Comox? But at that time, anyway, we're Ayajutham speakers, which means speaking the language well. And Tla'amin has most of the speakers of the four communities. There are no speakers left in Comox. So they're looking to us to help with the language. So we had Vancouver Island and the mainland. We're working with two projects. I've learned a lot of words all today. Language activist and ethno-mathematician. I always refer to myself as a language advocate. Presently, we have about 4,800 words with First Voices, which we've been working with for over 30 years, and about approximately 4,800. You can Google, you can go into First Voices and find out the accurate numbers, and they're going to be changing, they're fluctuating, because we're going into work. I'm having to, 30 years ago, we were just starting the orthography, so I'm going back and revisiting and making some changes to that. And then we got a SHRC grant with UBC, with Dr. Henry Davis, and Marianne Huseman is working on her PhD. So she comes in for a week or 2 weeks at a time. And we have about another 4,000 words banked, which we need to work on. Okay, so in total, once we finish, if we ever will, we should have close to 10,000 words and even more in phrases.
Okay, so about the Math Culture Outreach Program, that is a science outreach program from Simon Fraser University. It started in 2010 with the support of a so-called Promo Science grant given by the Canadian government and with PIMS, Pacific Institute for Mathematical Sciences money. So this is an outreach program, but it was in many ways inspired actually by a meeting that I attended in 2009 that was First Nation Mathematics Workshop organized in Banff, Alberta. And there, the organizers put a group of elders, mostly from Alberta, teachers from mostly from reserves in Alberta, and a group of academics to talk what is what we can do all together to promote mathematics. And there were two main conclusions, and that is actually the root of our program. And one is that we should teach mathematics in cultural context, and another is that we should start early. So this is what the program does. We do school visits. I visited with my volunteers about 300 schools all across BC and Alberta. We do animated films, and we are going to mostly talk about that part of our project. Bilingual picture books, I'm going to show you one page from one of those books. Aboriginal students and math and science workshop, that is one day workshop that we bring Aboriginal students from all across Lower Mainland, that means Greater Vancouver area, for one day of science and mathematics at Simon Fraser University. We invite students from grade 11 and 12 in a way to show them that Simon Fraser is there, a place for them to come and to study science or mathematics. Summer camp, this was a five-year initiative that just ended last year. For 1 month, we had a group of about 25 Aboriginal students. In the morning, they will take math and English classes. In the afternoon, they would have various activities, recreation, cultural activities. Everything was done together with our Office for Aboriginal Peoples and with the Indigenous Student Center. Workshops, presentations like this, publications, and also we've been, for now, for 10 years, we've been coordinating a tutoring program between Simon Fraser and the Native Education College. Here we are here to talk about small number adventures. This is small number. He is a young indigenous boy who is always in some kind of trouble. You know, but because he knows his mathematics, he gets out of trouble. We have 9 stories so far. And those stories are not tied to any particular time or space. With this, we also want to send this message about this universal side of mathematics that is not tied for a particular space or for particular time. We have 32 animated films. So the difference, 32 minus 9, since this is a math presentation, I have to ask you this question. Those are films that are narrated in 9 First Nation languages. And if there is something that is going to stay as a legacy of this program, those are going to be these films. We were really privileged to get these speakers willing to narrate our stories in their languages. No, these stories are mostly, they're always somehow related to some segment of indigenous traditions. So this is a math story, really, with a math plot, with the math questions at the end, but there is always this cultural part in that story. And now, Betty, if you want to say something about...
So, a small number in Tla'am, and we changed Tla'am. Small numbers named to Manapai, which means drummer. Okay, that's our word for drummer. And we do a literal translation. We put this one story into First Voices, but we've worked with other stories and haven't put it into First Voices yet. And one of the reasons we did that is our people, you just can't work with words alone in isolation or short phrases. You actually need to hear some dialogue happening, some language happening. So this was these math story problems are an excellent way to do them. And collaboration, that's partially what I do, working with the elders. One of the stories that we're going to hear towards the end, Eva is no longer with us, but her children and her grandchildren said she helped you with that story. You know, it's rather than me sitting in isolation translating, I go to the elders and say, this is a math story. They say, I don't want to do a math story. And then I include some of the students into the conversation. And some of the academics, like Marianne Huisman, we're working on agreeing on the spelling. So a lot of the community members, we also show them, we bring it to the elders' luncheon and show them. I show executive council, so everybody's hopefully in step. Somebody might not remember, but that's what I try and do.
So there are three components that I want to talk about these projects: people, budget, and challenges. It was a really, for me, a great learning experience meeting community members willing to narrate our stories in their languages. But also today during our keynote presentation, I heard the phrase that I think describes what we are trying to do: normalization of the language. So these stories are created in English language. They are inspired, and we do our share of research that we make sure that we are respectful and that we don't offend anyone with our stories. But this is a new story. This is something else. And when this story is told in the language, this is a contribution to the language. This didn't exist before. And we are challenging our speakers also to use their knowledge and their community knowledge to create something new, to maybe create or say phrases that they didn't think about before. One of our story was told by this particular nation, and my collaborator told me, oh, I asked my community members, I gave them this as their summer project to translate the story or to narrate story about canoe. And then he complained, I couldn't stop them talking about canoes. You know? So that is also our contribution to this. The budget, the one of the reasons that I wear my hat is that I go after this presentation and ask for donations. It is a challenge. For one film, we need, this is very modest, $7,000-$8,000 to put everything together. That means we need to pay our animator, our director, for music, for recordings, for people willing to put their time and effort and knowledge into narrating these stories. So this is always a challenge. This is always a challenge. But challenge is also what to do with these films. You know, I know that the films, they've been shown across Canada. One of the biggest compliments that I got was a teacher who was teaching in some remote Cree reserve in northern Quebec, and she said she decided to show our Cree films to her students, kindergarten and grade one. And they liked it, but for them that was the first time to hear a different dialect of Cree. So they said, we know it's Cree, but we are not sure if we can understand. So that is also our contribution to this. This is Halcyon Rivers. He's using our films in teaching Squamish language. And he said the fact that he can show the image, that students can hear the words, and that there is a transcript attached to each film, works like a magic in his classes. But also, there is a detail here. He uses his own names for our films. So we create a story in English, he creates, let us say, in Squamish, and then he goes back to English with his own name. So the ownership kind of transfers really to whoever is using that in the language. This is a scene from one of our bilingual books. This is the Blackfoot language. Our first story was narrated in Blackfoot, because actually the story, this little scene was told to us by Rena Sinclair, an elder from the Siksika Nation. And
I just love working on this math project, because Veslin comes up to our community and he does He goes from kindergarten all the way up to grade 7, you know, doing math problems. And the kids, and then he comes, we give him a sandwich for supper, and he comes and works with parents on how not to be worried about math or feel anxious like we all do. You know, we all say, oh, I can't do math. And so the parents bring the kids, and we have Leo and Sosin's daughter here. They always like to bring their kids, and they got to participate with some of the toys, I call them, but mathematical toys that Veselin brings. So they're always a part of anything that we do.
But I get my share of gifts. This is probably the most precious piece of my possession. Mm-hmm. Anybody actually recognize this? This is
The Mobius strip.
This is the Mobius strip. The Mobius strip is one of those magic mathematical objects. It's a surface. It's a three-dimensional object with only one side. There is no up and down. There is no inside and outside. And we were playing during this community event with Mobius strips. And next morning, I get this as a present. So one of the participants went home, the mother actually of those two kids, put the kids in the bed and spent I don't know how much time weaving this Mobius strip. And this is why I think this goes both ways. I got this beautiful piece of art, but also this community member got the experience of creating actually an amazing piece of mathematics. So we have enough time now to at least show you a part of our film. The narration is by Betty. The drawings are by Bethany LaRue. She's a young Cree artist from Vancouver. And you are going to hear the voices of...
Quo chega tomo, quo chega tomo, quo chega tomo. Chinam ta kowut chigum stat lathlum, so chega nak quiet as tat lathlum. Tat kutam ta kowut tat lathlum. Tatkutam tatlasom tamehas. Tatkutam tamehas takaiku. Tatkutam takaiku tapoho. Hega tati gen. Na maso taik tati gen. Slashbata shisopnets. Quo chega to move. Uk ej eganak. Hoya seed arkes. Tati gen kutas light. Gayes dunch. Chint a kaha ye metas shetty gen hueltum light oofs.
And this is a mathematical question. So, that's our little film, and we have enough time for.
Ej arthas to call up. What? Oknamstums, I adjo thums.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
So, any questions?
You could tell us what the mathematical question is.
Oh, this is actually a calculus question. How come that those big animals, they needed the help of this little frog to do the job? And that is actually a short story about calculus. Why a small change makes a big difference. No, so that's. But teachers use this. How many animals were there? How many? It is always a tough question when you ask grade one or grade two. How many legs altogether there? You know, and things like this. How many animals live in water? But also communicate mathematics to which animal is the fastest? No, which one is the oldest? You ask a question that they cannot answer. So that's a fair mathematical question also. So there is a mathematical part of this.
So there's all kinds of other projects that Veslin has which are really quite fascinating. The one we're working on right presently has to do with weaving. I try and be a traditional root weaver, or I'm trying to learn how. And Veslin sent an email one day, he saw one of my baskets somewhere, and he said, I love the polynomials you put in that basket. And I'm going, I don't know. I Google polynomials, and I go, oh yeah, okay. But it's in some ways, it's unfortunate now I can't weave without sitting there for hours wondering how my design's going to go, you know, and whereas I would have just enjoyed it. Our project, he's got some other students working on it, and I've brought it to Chief and Council, and we're going to bring it to the community next week when I get home, and then one of these students going to come up and try and incorporate it into the school and have the teachers look at it so that kids can manipulate. So it's a wonderful project, and it's also helped me in terms of what other words do I need to archive so that it's not lost. I had missed out a whole section on math, you know, and last week we were working as a group on the language and getting the words for triangles and things like that for different shapes, canoe building, and our fish weirs were mathematically done. So asking all those questions of the elders, it was really, they're sitting there, you know, and I have to ask the 80-year-olds, because there's so few of them, because they have that memory of their parents and grandparents. So we don't want to lose that. And I have to thank Veslin for that.
Oh, thank you.
Comments?
How many schools have got that resource?
So resources are available through my website. So they're freely available. And we are talking here about these issues who owns this. This goes all under the banner of Matt Kachar, but really the owners are narrators and the nations that accept these stories, you know, so that there is no dilemma about that. Okay. Yes, please.
Kia ora. Thank you for your presentation. Do you find it improves the maths outcomes of the children?
We've just barely started, and I've gone to the education management team a week before I came and said, hey, guys, you know, we have this available. How are your teachers going to use it? Because in BC now, those of us that come from BC know that the government has said there needs to be an incorporation of Indigenous culture teachings and things in the curriculum. So I've gone to the management team, to the superintendent, and said, how is our district going to do that? You know, so we can only work where we're from, and the other people around the province will have to do the same thing. So hopefully, it's quite exciting. Some of the teachers are quite excited about incorporating local culture, history, and, you know, our kids, I think, are really proud. They're accepting it as part of the learning process.
The speaker this morning was mentioning the need for training teachers about how to incorporate that into the curriculum. So I think that creating that is the first step, but actually there is a very hard work of working with the teachers to incorporate it into the lesson plans and everything.
Yes.
Which I'm very glad that you're a teacher.
I'm retired.
But you know how to do it. Most of us don't know how to do that. Have not been trained to do that. Any more?
I was wondering, how do you do additions and subtractions and divisions? Did you get into that at all?
No. These little stories are always with an open-ended problem, you know, and it is really up to teacher to put this in the class. This also makes this resource flexible in a way that you can use it in kindergarten to ask how many animals are there, or to use it in grade 12 to ask them, really, do you see the calculus side of this? No. So these films are made with the idea to promote mathematics, to make viewers think about mathematics, rather about mathematical thinking than performing some algebraic operations.
So do you have documentations that tells that to the teachers?
I have teachers. I had recently a teacher who did masters on her applications of these films in a public school in Coquitlam.
And that's in your website too?
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful paper. If you have a problem finding it, contact me. It's a wonderful paper.
Okay, so we have maybe two more minutes if anybody...
Oh, no, we go to party. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.